You're listening to Talking Heads. Thanks for making a bit of time for us this afternoon. This hour on the programme on Talking Heads, we're starting our run of interviews talking policies and politics. As part of Manx Radio's election coverage on Talking Heads, we're interviewing all the new standing candidates for September's House of Keys general election. The first of our interviewees today is Lawrence Skelly, who's making a bid to become a representative in the three-seat constituency of Rushen. Good afternoon, Lawrence, and welcome to Talking Heads.
Good afternoon, Stu.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, right. You did say it would be unprepared, and it certainly is going to be. I'm born and raised on the island. I left in the mid-80s and went to America, actually got married. Went to America on a six-month visa and stayed for 15 years. Had a couple of children there. Very successful in business, I might say, in the travel and tourism area. Even represented the government in the tourism department and a few other areas, and then came back to the island and settled in Rushen, and very happy and comfortable, and feel very much at home.
And have you got any background in politics? Is there any sort of family background in politics, either locally or nationally?
There's no background as such. I would say I know a family have always voted, and I remember as a teenager, I think it was, back in the 80s, that making that first vote, and always had a very keen interest in politics, without a doubt. And even when I lived away, sort of kept in touch with that, and especially with the advent of the internet and so forth, it's very, very much up to date. So I like to think that I sort of broadened my political interest when I moved off the island to try and understand things, not only from within, but also looking from afar as well.
You're one of the few people I've ever met, I think, who spent 15 years in America and you've not got an American accent.
Well, every so often a word will come out. I will tell you that. But it is. I think what you've got is when you grow up, and that's you make your individual. It's part of your character.
So when you were in America, you say that you stayed in touch with the Isle of Man via the internet or whatever. Is that important? Because we often talk about the Manx diaspora.
Well, indeed. I did get involved with the North American Manx very early on, and where I lived in San Diego in California, we had a very healthy local society there that was very well attended. And through that, it sort of made this sort of connection a little bit stronger. So I wanted to ensure I maintained those roots. And for me, it was also an interest in education as a sort of new a Manx immigrant to America, to sort of understand what the Manx have sort of endured, because obviously they were driven there, in the sort of 1800s period, and how they've managed to succeed and thrive. And there is an argument, and I always remember Betty Hansen many, many years ago telling me that they felt that there was a million Manx people in America, so it's an untapped market as I see it, and I would hope that government might at some stage look to engage these people, as they are certainly willing and proud ambassadors.
You say that you had a successful business there, travel business. What brought you back to the Isle of Man?
Well, we did. I wouldn't deny we had a very good quality of life there. We enjoyed it. I think it was when the children came along, and obviously the grandparents getting elderly, the family, tie really kicks in at that particular stage. And so it just felt right to make that turn. And being in the travel business, there was a lot of things going on, and it just made good sense to get out at that particular time.
So how long have you been back?
We come back just before 1999.
Right, okay. And you've got businesses here now, not just in travel, I believe.
That's correct, yes. My main focus is the business that I have with my wife, Jackie, and that is Manx Inspirations. It's a wholesale business, and we operate that here locally. And also have an event management business, Destination Isle of Man. So that still plays a hand in the travel side of it, so to speak. And I've done one or two consultancy jobs besides that.
When did you first think that you might run for the House of Keys, and why?
I don't know. I guess it's that interest has always been there. It's timing more than anything else, I would put it down to. And it comes down to what your responsibilities are through the family, through the business and so forth. And, you know, going back a step, you know, when we were in America, the business that we had was, it was pretty intensified and certainly extremely competitive and quite a big sort of staff role. We decided that what we wanted is a business that wouldn't have that, was relatively low profile, and wanted to make a change. But through that, I've sort of found that I wanted to also be challenged. So I feel that I'm still fresh enough that I've got something to offer there, and the decision to make that bid was probably maybe about a year or so ago, when I started to get more heavily involved with the community through Regeneration Committee and things like that.
And is it a dissatisfaction with the current government that's made you want to stand, or is it a career progression for you, or is it the feeling that you really need to give something back to the community?
You're probably the latter there, Stu, I would say. I wouldn't say that there is a dissatisfaction in general. What I would always say is that recognise where we are today and what the previous governments have done, and they have done a very good job to a certain extent. You know, there's certain issues, I think, that have sort of come to bear and made me realise that I think I have something to offer that is different, provides an alternative. And the VAT issue, the health agreement, and some of those things, if I was to be critical, I would say, you know, we're mismanaged politically, and it wouldn't be, you know, how I would sort of address things. And I think the people have, and that's the other issue for me, is that I haven't been more heavily involved with the community. A number of people asked me to stand, and that's what sort of manifested to where I am today.
It sounds as though in your business background, you've been the boss now for a number of years, probably for 15 years in America and since 1999 here. Does that mean that you're able to work with people on a level playing field, or are you fairly autocratic?
No, I do believe I can work with it with anyone, really. And whilst I might have been self-employed and been, you know, the boss, you might say, I have two partnerships, and they are 50-50 partnerships, I will tell you. But I also have sat on a number of boards and committees and so forth, and fully understand, you know, that you've got to work with people to achieve anything. And I don't think that could be any more apparent than it could be in government.
Do you think you'll find that easy, working with people at that kind of level? I mean, I have a dread of committees, because if you're used to being the go-to person who makes the decisions, it's difficult, isn't it, to then sit down with a group of people who've all possibly got very different ideas about the way forward.
They do, but I think that's what's important about a committee, is that you really mould all those views and come together with a consensus that is for the better of the purpose of whatever that committee is set up for. So I guess, again, I would just point out that one of the things I think that I have to offer is something that is different in terms of my background, and I hope that sort of provides a different perspective, really. And I feel I certainly could work, and I have done in the past, with all walks of life, really.
So you think that your business background is going to be useful in politics. Do you see yourself as being a good local, a constituency MHK if you're elected, or do you have greater aspirations than that?
Well, I would say that to be elected, you've got to be a good local constituency individual. There's no doubt about that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be elected. Simple as that. But I think the key point, really, and what I found very encouraging in my sort of due diligence, I might say, in going and speaking to so many people as I have done up to now, is that it's refreshing for me and the reason why I'm standing is predominantly for to help the economy and help the island, you know, become a better place and build a brighter future. But refreshing for me is that so many people seem to have the national issues at heart. It's not so much the local issue that people are concerned with, at least up to now. I've still, you know, got to go out and meet the full electorate, without doubt. But up to now, it's been very encouraging from that point of view.
Have you got a manifesto as such, or is that something that's going to come
I have.
Later?
I've already published it. I set my stall early, and that's really to do with my own business commitments, and also because Rushen is such a big constituency, if I'm to get round it all, which I do intend to knock on every single door, I need to get myself organised, and that's it's already published, printed and online.
Excellent. Okay, and tell me what you think is the greatest threat to the Isle of Man at the moment, something that you would like to get your teeth into if you're elected in September.
Well, it's probably our economy is the greatest issue. I certainly recognise that the island has done well in comparison to our near neighbours across both sides of the water there. But having said that, you know, the man and woman in the street, you know, has felt it and does feel it. And, you know, you do recognise that the economy is fragile without a doubt. So that's the issue really at heart. And we've got to focus our expertise, you might say, and work on the economy. So because if we don't have a prosperous economy, we can't support all the social services that we, you know, which we have here. And for the most part is provided at a very high level.
And how do you think we can focus on the economy? What do you think we could be doing or should be doing to strengthen our economy?
Well, I think there's, you know, it's been so far, there's been a lot of good things that have been done by this government. I'm not, as I said earlier, I'm not here to tear down what all the good work that has been done, because there has been a tremendous amount that has been done. Diversification is obviously the big issue, and you know, the emergence of this new economic development department, and I think the emphasis there to try and build upon that is important, and I would like to see that expanded, I guess, and look towards new revenue streams and continue in different areas. One of the things I'd sort of mentioned in my manifesto is the development of an enterprise zone. An enterprise zone really is to try and create and attract new industry to the island. And there's a lot of industries that would fit the island very well. Renewables, which is quite a big issue, it could be a major resource for us. The digital, the clean tech, and there's the new age manufacturing. There's a lot of areas that we could look at there and focus on that would help us diversify our economy and not be so reliant on the finance sector, which we all know is a big part of our income.
So you think that the Department of Economic Development, that was a good development as far as government was concerned. Do you think that the government reshuffle worked?
Yes, I would say that that was probably the biggest highlight and biggest positive from what I could see. Having read the scope and structure of government, what I would say is that, you know, they restructured, but they didn't address the scope issue. And that would be one thing I would campaign for, is to reopen that report and update it. And there are a number of issues in there that need to be looked at again, because there's opportunities there that could be we could avail ourselves of in terms of saving money.
What do you think about party politics in the Isle of Man? Because I'm assuming that you're standing as an independent. Do you have any alliance with any of the pressure groups or the lobbying groups?
Well, the lobbying groups, they're a different matter, I think, and they serve a good purpose, to be honest. And that's been a healthy development in the politics here on the island. Party politics, I'm standing as an independent simply because it's my views, and, you know, what I'd like to do is to people to address me and not a party manifesto. And you can actually change a manifesto because of what the people tell you. I find it difficult to understand how we can have only one party, and throughout the history it's shown that party politics does not work on the island, you know, and it's
why do you think that is?
I think we're too small, probably. The man in the street wants to collar one individual rather than say, well, that's my party policy right there. They just like that aspect. And I know, you know, we obviously have the one party and the one man in there, Peter Caron, and, you know, he serves a purpose to us to a certain extent. And I would applaud him in what his individuality and also his independence and his principles. But I can't see how that would actually change the effect without another party, which, as I say, it's never been successful.
Your background commercially is very much in tourism, and we often hear on this programme about the fact that the tourism industry is on its knees in the Isle of Man. What do you make of that? Do you think that maybe it's time to just accept the fact that we're never going to get back to days of heavy tourism numbers?
No, we'll never do that, and that's been happening, you know, for some time. Obviously, the reduction of the bed space is the big issue, and we all know about the cost factor as well, which which is another matter. But tourism should remain alive and well. There have been changes there in economic development with regards to tourism, and I wouldn't like to see it be diminished to the level it has been now, and which I'm a little concerned with that, because tourism, whilst it is greatly reduced in terms of what it's returned in terms of GDP for the island, there's still a lot of people that are involved with it into the service industry and so forth, and we still have an awful lot to offer the right tourist. It's all about the marketing, I think, when it comes to tourism.
And who's the right tourist? I mean, people talk about things like walking holidays, and ramblers are attracted to the Isle of Man, but why? Because they can get the same countryside in the Lake District or in Wales, and it's a lot cheaper to get there if they're in the UK.
We are. It's a tough sell, is what you're saying, and it certainly is. You know, the tourist that comes here is quite different, without a doubt, but it's a cultured individual who comes here. It's somebody who can afford to come here, and I think we have displayed that we can bring people to the island. Special events obviously is another matter, and you know, and you build on some of these things like to the walking festival and so forth, but you can go beyond that, and there's a lot of other niche markets I think that we could probably focus on and target market.
I get the impression it was always thus, that sort of slightly posh people would come to the Isle of Man, whereas the shop floor workers would go to Blackpool for the Wakes Week.
It's a matter of economics at the end of the day. Unless, if we had cheap airfares, I'm sure we'd have that, you know, those people there too. But, you know, we just witnessed what is the greatest free show on earth here with the TT Festival. So whilst it might be costly to get here and so forth, but the event is actually free. And so that's something to be learnt there.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio.
This is Talking Heads, and we're talking to Lawrence Skelly, who's standing in Russian in September. What are your views on local government and the powers of local government versus national government?
Interesting one, Stu. I've spoken to a lot of commissioners and sit on some committees with commissioners, and I tend to think that commissioners do a very good job. And they do it certainly for the right reasons too. What I'd like to see is a possible review of services and look at the potential of decentralising a number of services. There is an opportunity here to return the power to the people in the community, I think, and they're very capable. I think it's something we should have a look at in terms of.
Do the
of
people
review.
Want that power? Are you talking about local commissioners?
Yeah, I think so, because you have these situations where it's difficult to actually fill the seats, and there's a situation obviously there at the moment in the south where they're struggling because commissioners have stated that they feel powerless, and that's not a good thing really, because they're giving up their time. Sure enough, they get some expenses, but they're giving up their time for the better of the community. I would like to see a review of potential decentralisation of services from central government to go towards local government now.
How would you describe yourself as a potential politician? Are you a left winger, a centrist? Are you a right winger, capitalist, socialist? Where do you sit?
Well, I suppose I believe in the capitalist system. Because, obviously my background in business. But I think it's important, and it always has been, I think, on the island, and I would stand firm that, I think the capitalist system must remain, but it must support also our less fortunate people and, and our elderly and so forth. So it's got to go hand in hand, really.
What about local issues in Russian? What are the big issues there?
It's a big constituency. You've got two rural parishes and two ports, very, very different in character, and there are a lot of issues. If there's one item I think that is a biggest issue, it's actually the Balakilia site, which has been contentious for well over a decade, actually, and it's been in the southern area plan, which sadly has been delayed in terms of its progress there, but Balakilia has been identified as a next largest housing area as well as a recreation. And I think that will be the potentially the biggest issue in terms of election point there in Russian.
What do you think about development in the Isle of Man? Do you think that there are too many new developments or not enough? Do you think we need to be building more houses or have we got enough?
Well, there are different issues. Brown sites are one thing I would put you know, actually talk about very briefly. We do have a problem with brown sites, and it's an island-wide issue. And the problem with brown sites is that we seem to have a situation where buildings seem to become land banked because of the zero rate taxation, and we need some legislation that will encourage those owners of those buildings to develop them or sell them on. And it needs to be some form of a rate system that moves away from that zero rated. So that's one issue in the brownfield. The other issue, going back to Balakilia, because the Southern Area Plan is the very first plan to come out, I think there's an excellent opportunity to run a pilot scheme, as I would call it, whereas the government plays an active role in acquiring that land and releasing that land to be built by demand. And what I mean by that quite simply is that we would give equal opportunity to our building trade, our local building trade, to limit the number of lots that they could actually buy and develop. Yeah. They can compete with one another, and on that very same development we would also have service self-build, so we can have a service build, and let's roll out a passive energy efficient housing program all on the same building development. And that's what I'd like to see for Balakilia.
Where do you sit on environmental issues? You mentioned eco-housing. I think that's a fantastic thing, and I'm amazed that we're not building more of those houses.
We really should be encouraging more of that, without a doubt. You know, the technology is there, and we do need to help our tradespeople become familiar with that, with those trades, because they are specific and require expertise. Environmental, I'm in support of our development there, and I know we've set our limits, and I'd like to see an energy and natural resources division created within government so as it has a greater focus and a bigger priority, really. The levels that we've actually set in terms of the government are I think are fair, but I know we could do more, and it needs to be, you know, driven obviously from central government to get the private sector involved as well.
The big threat at the moment to the Isle of Man seems to be the VAT black hole. That's absolutely taken the wind out of government. 20%+ possibly of our spending has gone. What do you think is the answer to that? Is it redundancies? Is it a root and branch look at the public services that we offer? What's the answer?
Well, there ain't no simple answer, I'd say, to that one, Stu. First of all, I would make a statement, as I have in my manifesto. I'm against job cuts in government. I think employment retention is far more beneficial to the economy than job cuts. We mentioned earlier the scope and structure report. I would like to go back to that again once more and look at that, and because there are a number of avenues there that need to be revisited and explored, because there is cost cuttings to be made, and there are new opportunities that we might look at there.
Are there enough areas to cut costs without cutting jobs? Because it's a lovely thing to say, and nobody wants to see people out of work, but, you know, that's the biggest component of where our tax money goes, isn't it?
It is, yes, and I don't think you could shy away from that, I would say. No, I think there are ways, without a doubt, and in the past, you just got to look at what we've actually spent, and, you know, in some areas, what we've got back as well at the same time. And I think, you know, the austerity that's began is been a healthy thing, really, because we come through this leaner and meaner, I suppose, and more healthier at the end of the day in terms of the government finances. So that needs to maintain in terms of that drive, looking for more efficiencies and cutting waste and so forth. But there are we do need to employ a stricter regime on capital projects, which is another matter again.
And do you not think that in certain areas of public service we need to look at the way that things are done? Because it strikes me as an outsider that there are an awful lot of working practices, for example, that are steeped in the 1950s and 60s that really need to be revisited.
Well, absolutely, you know, you're right. You wouldn't want to criticise anyone in particular, but where you change that, I think, Stu, is to bring in sort of public-private partnerships. You know, I'm sort of the thought process of creating think tanks. You know, we've got a lot of expertise and quite a diversified expertise, in particularly in the private sector, some great success stories, and I'd like to see them sort of working hand in hand with the government and creating and forming, you know, innovative new policies, you know, whether it be developing new revenue streams, whether it be creating better efficiencies, looking at cutting waste, you know, and it's through those partnerships rather than the civil service being having the responsibility, which, you know, I'm sure they would like to share that burden and get the private sector involved.
Do you not think we've got too many talking shops already, people sitting around and having these focus groups and consultations? We seem to consult on everything these days.
Well, that's the outside consultants, I think, that a lot of people are concerned with. And we do, I do honestly believe we've got so much expertise right here on the island. It's only when you need to look from outside within that we need to bring people, you know, that are not here on the island. Talking shops are one thing, but they've got to have a means, and they've got to have a result. And I do honestly believe you engage the private sector, they'll be very result driven, and subsequently, you know, they'll be banging on the politicians' doors.
Lawrence Skelly, it's been lovely to meet you today. Thank you very much indeed for coming in.
Thank you.